Hey listeners, this is Abir Sichter. On this episode of Local Global Leaders, titled Take a Big Selfie, I spoke with Maddie Duff, the outgoing student body president at the University of Kentucky. She's my first fellow Eastern Kentuckian guest, so I was really excited to talk to her about her roots and the work she does to empower her community back home in Eastern Kentucky and Appalachia at large. President Duff is one of the most positive and charismatic leaders I've met, and we had a really fun time on this episode talking about important causes to let her run for student government. We also had a lot of fun talking about taking selfies and how she uses that to engage different voices and even disciplining our dogs. Hope you enjoy listening. Greetings, everyone. This is Abir Sichter. I'm here on UK's beautiful campus with student body president Maddie Duff. Maddie, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Thank you so much, Abir. I'm honored to be here, especially with a fellow Eastern Kentuckian. I love it. 606 represent.
Yeah, I had the idea of, like, I want to definitely interview the UK student body president to get, like, a youth perspective. Then reading your bio, I was like, yeah, Eastern Kentucky. Then I saw you're the first female Eastern Kentuckian student body president.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was really awesome to see. I grew up in Johnson County. My parents actually work in Prestonsburg in Floyd County.
Okay, so you're very familiar with my neck of the woods. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, and it was crazy to find out when I did get elected, it was crazy to find out that in 85 years of this role, this individual that serves on the Board of Trustees, that I was the first female from Eastern Kentucky to ever be elected. So as much as I'm honored, I'm excited to hopefully encourage other people from Eastern Kentucky, especially women, to kind of pursue, you know, some harder to reach goals that they might think of in the first place.
That's awesome. That's something my mom works on back home in Eastern Kentucky too, like women's empowerment in the area.
Absolutely.
And also like around the country as well. So,
no, it's something that definitely needs a bigger boost. It needs more attention brought to it. So I'm happy to do that. I'd love to get introduced to your mom. I'd love to work on with her some projects.
I think she'd be interested for sure.
Absolutely.
But yes, thank you again for taking the time for this. Starting off, I just want to know, who is Maddie Duff and how you became a leader? So how would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners off the bat?
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm Maddie Duff. I am a senior neuroscience major, Appalachian Studies minor at the University of Kentucky, serving as we kind of talked about a little bit, student body president, ever elected at UK. I'm very active in giving back to my home community of Eastern Kentucky. So I do a lot of research revolved around that. I'm involved in a lot of organizations revolving around that. And so that's kind of how I became who I am. And I'm very proud of that.
That's awesome. And yeah, I know, obviously with like the flooding and stuff happening back home, have you been able to like help with that, or has everything been okay in your community and your family?
Absolutely. So Floyd County definitely was very adversely affected by this. So in my role, I was able to take initiative and partner with UK Athletics as well as UK as a whole to kind of collect donations over a couple of weeks that are going to directly benefit those affected by the flooding, which was very great. But it's also very sad because just 2 years ago when I was president of the Appalachian Health Initiative, we were experiencing the other horrible flood that hit Eastern Kentucky. And so I got to work with athletics then, and we got to come back to Eastern Kentucky at that time. And that's when the blue-white game happened in Pikeville. And so that was really nice. I love doing opportunities like this, but I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's really cool and you're able to bring like UK's resources, UK's power, back home to like rural communities a few hours. You know, it's not that far away, but it's still really cool that like the influence all over the state.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something that like a lot of people back home like don't realize is that like University of Kentucky is the university of and for Kentucky, and so making sure that they feel that love all across the state is something I was very happy to be able to help with.
But what motivates you to be a leader in your community, from leading and helping the Appalachian community back home to being student body president?
I strive to be a leader just because if you're not willing to do it, you can't expect somebody else to. And so kind of taking that initiative, whether it be in the classroom doing something or, you know, service related or, you know, just helping somebody out if they need help moving a box or anything. I think being able to step up in that capacity it's one of my favorite things to do. And so, you know, if you're not willing to do it, why would you expect somebody else to?
That's cool. Kind of a unique way of sort of like being that example, like leading by that example.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what was your path, I guess, with student government? You know, of course, you're student body president, but how did you kind of get there? And like, what did you do with student government before?
Absolutely. So I actually have like a very funny journey to it. If, like, I tell people this all the time, like, if you would have told me my freshman year when I got to UK, I was the only student from my high school, Betsy Lane, to come here. I knew literally not that many people, like barely anyone. So I was like scared to death when I got on campus. If you would have told me I would be student body president, the first female from Eastern Kentucky, I probably would have looked at you like you like had like a third eye, like, or like that's insane. Like, I literally would have been like, absolutely not. So as a sophomore, one of my really good friends was in SGA, and she's like, hey, look, what are you doing Wednesday nights? And at that time, I was like, oh, well, I'm taking Spanish. I'm taking a night Spanish. And so she was like, okay, but like from this period of time, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm free. So she was like, would you be interested in being the clerk? And I was like, what does that entail? Like, that sounds like I'm president of a much smaller organization, and that's kind of a lot. I put my all, when I do something, I put my all into it. So I was putting my all into that. And so I was like, what does that entail? And so, you know, it dealt with, you know, all of the things that SGA, all the resolutions passed, all the different initiatives that they did, they all have paperwork. And so I was kind of in charge of making sure that that had all the signatures from everyone that needed to have it signed, as well as, you know, making sure it was done on a timely fashion. So I came into SGA, did the Senate clerk role, really enjoyed it, thought it was fun. And so I was like, oh, okay, like kind of what's another position that I could do? And so I was talking to all of them, and they were like, oh, you could run for a Senate seat. You'd get to represent your constituents. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this is the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done, like running a campaign. That is like I said, like I'm a neuroscience major. Like that is nothing on my radar. Like what? And so, you know, I made this little like cheesy Canva graphic that was like, vote Maddie Duff for your undergraduate at large senator. And for some reason I got elected. And so I really enjoyed that, you know, making different resolutions about supporting different things going on campus, different issues, as well as, you know, resolutions in support of like somebody that might have passed, you know, kind of making sure that like everyone in the UK student community felt seen and heard. Okay. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. So then I am very passionate about the opioid epidemic back home. So did a little bit of research on that when I first got here. And so I helped bring Narcan training onto campus through the Appalachian Health Initiative. And so somebody came to me in like the late November-ish of my junior year and was like, have you ever thought about running for student body president? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I got a gray hair from my Senate election, and like that's not necessarily a big of a deal. Like, it's only undergrads that are voting, things like that. So they were like, look, like you can do this Narcan, you can do all these things that you're passionate about on a bigger scale. In SGA, and I never really thought about it that way, and I was like, oh, you're right, I could. So that's kind of when I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. And I kind of sat down, I thought about it, and I was like, you know, when else am I gonna do this? Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So I started on the campaign trail and, you know, just never gave up. And I was honored to be elected. So here we are.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Like that issue of like, I guess we thought maybe was more of a narrow issue of like the opioid academic and substance use, and then like being able to like spread the word about that, right?
Absolutely. And I know like stigma is a big thing around that. And so kind of making sure that like, that was the coolest thing about those trainings that we would bring with AHI, is that like talking about like, hey, like, you know, these people are cousins, family members of individuals, like you can't have such this judgmental attitude towards it. Like, and from the neuro side of it, like I understand that like once you have been addicted to a substance, it does change your brain chemistry. So it's not as easy as people think sometimes for them to like quit cold turkey. And so making sure that was something that we always discussed at those meetings too was huge, especially, you know, around Eastern Kentucky, how it was targeted with the Purdue Pharma opioids and such. So it kind of gave me like a, okay, like I love helping. And so it kind of gave me an avenue to do that.
That's cool. And yeah, I think you have kind of a unique major you're doing, both neuroscience and Appalachian studies, right?
Yes.
It's good to see. I don't think you always hear of like political science, econ, law, history people, them running for office, but like it's good to have more science people running.
Absolutely. We have a totally different outlook on things, I think. I'm always like looking for like a rule or something. And so sometimes that comes in handy and sometimes that's a little aggravating because there might not be a rule there. And so it's like, okay, what do? You kind of have to adapt, so.
That's cool. Yeah, so you feel like you're able to use like what you're studying, both, I mean, you've clearly said it with the Appalachian studies, but also with the neuroscience or that technical side, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
I had a similar thing. I was economics major, and I was a math nerd growing up, and then I was a math teacher for a while. Then I went to law school. So being able to use like that mathematical brain to like apply to the law. I think it like most people are like, oh, you have to worry about writing or like the fluid flow. And I'm like, no, it's an equation. And
oh,
I think
yeah.
it worked out.
Oh, that's awesome. Where did you go to law school at? That's incredible.
George Washington.
Okay, that's incredible. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool to have like sort of that technical side with leadership. It's really cool to hear that that's been able to influence you. Like even what you're studying in school is like able to guide your work.
Absolutely, no. And I think always, especially when you get into the thick of a big project or something, kind of going back to like why you actually started it. Like, you know, if it's not for like the right reasons, you know, it's way easy to get drained and burned out. But, you know, I think if you're always thinking about like, oh, why did you first do this? It's kind of easier to stay motivated throughout the process.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you talked about sort of leadership roles you've had in college. What were some of your earlier leadership roles from like, you know, high school, middle school, or in the community before?
Yeah, so I was always a big science nerd. So like I did all those science camps, different ones at like the East Kentucky Science Center,
oh, yeah.
like, you know, throwing it way back, as well as like going to some of those like Entrepreneurial Leadership Institute camps. They were always very fun for me, and I loved every aspect of them, getting to meet new people, hear their stories. I think one of the bigger things though that kind of like projectiled me into going into leadership was I was the first student from Floyd County to be accepted into the Governor's School for Entrepreneurs program.
Oh wow, okay.
At GSE. So that I absolutely loved that program. I had so much fun with it. It was a little bit different than it is nowadays, just because it was the COVID era.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. You know, getting to learn, kind of like thinking about it. And it's like an entrepreneur, so we had to have our own project, kind of go through the aspects of building it, promoting it, all these different realms that, you know, I can see how they fit into STEM, but they're not necessarily STEM related. So that was awesome. And that, I think that's kind of one of the bigger ones. I was always like volleyball, cheerleading, like captain, always did, you know, STLP academics, but I think GSE really, really helped me be like, oh, okay, like there are opportunities like outside of, you know, Floyd County and stuff that can make sure that you kind of get your foot in the water, get your toes in the water about, leadership, not just in the classroom, but in other areas. Like being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and that's really cool that like you have this science background, but yeah, similar thing, like I did science camps too, did an academic team, but I don't think people know enough about like entrepreneurial camps here in Kentucky. So like I think that was probably a really cool like compliment to the science work you were doing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it was great, and I still keep in touch with a lot of the students I met there as well as the mentors. It was just a really great experience. I think it really helped to kind of see being a leader in different environments, that you don't have to just stick like to that narrow path that you were talking about earlier. It can kind of go ways a little bit different, and I think that kind of gives a good overview of how I kind of got to this point in college, like the different paths.
That's cool. And yeah, so it's sort of like that, all those diverse perspectives, I think, is really cool. Like, I think with academic team, like, typically you'd have, like, the math science people and the English arts people. And then,
yeah.
like, same thing in school in general. I think sometimes our education system tries to, like, pigeonhole people into those, but you kind of, like, got that mix of different things. I kind of felt with academic team, I was, like, a math and social studies nerd, like, one of the few of those.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, like, my two areas, whereas, like, everyone else again was like math, science, or like English, arts, humanities, and I guess let me just study economics. The only area that combines those. But
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's so cool that you like. I think getting that exposure early on is really good for young people, and like, you know, I think it's worked out well for you, the leadership you have.
Absolutely. Like, I just went home last week, and I went and talked at a bunch of different high schools, and you know, one of the biggest things I tell them is they asked me like, okay, what do you think prepared you? And I was like, you know, go like leave Eastern Kentucky, go out to those camps, experience it, come back and bring that knowledge back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the best things that people can do, especially young students.
That's really cool that you're motivating people to go back home. I felt that, yeah, after going to law school in DC, it was during COVID as well, so I felt that calling to like really come back home. Partly, I'll admit, it was seeing Andy's press conferences every day. I'm like, you know what? I want to go back home and help with the work he's doing. So, it's good that you're encouraging people to do that, especially back home in Eastern Kentucky.
Absolutely. No, I really thoroughly enjoyed it, getting to talk to all kinds of students. We even went and talked to some like middle school students, and they were kind of like,
oh, cool.
Oh my goodness, like just like instilling it in them young. Like, you can go to Kentucky, you can go to UK. They've got all the resources for you to succeed here. Even if you don't want to go to UK, you know, go to college, then come back. You know, kind of looking at those different majors. I was really impressed with how many questions we got afterwards about, you know, what are you studying? How did you choose that? What does your everyday life look like? The food good? you know, all kinds of different things like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of positive things happening there. I want to ask kind of a different direction question. What are some of the biggest struggles you ran into in your leadership journey?
I think every leader goes through their own struggles. I mean, I don't think it would be leadership without it. I think some of the struggles that I have dealt with is when you become a leader, it is so easy to just get caught up in the moment. I think it's always very important to maintain your morals. You know, if you really pride yourself on honesty and integrity, making sure that you follow that through. You don't let something or someone get in the way of that. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest challenges that a leader faces that I have faced. And I really pride myself on, you know, going back. You know, if I'm making a decision, there's a reason I made it. And I'm gonna have a justification for it. And so there, like, it's gonna go back to my morals. That's cool.
And have you ever had any experiences with like toxic leadership that you've had to learn from or still think about?
Absolutely. Like, I think that I know that I mentioned I played sports in high school. You know, there's always like the coach, you know, there's always going to be a player that, you know, maybe gets playing time and they don't necessarily deserve it. Things like that. But I think another thing too is like watching other leaders and how, you know, that I've worked with and how they interact and react to situations. I think a lot of times leaders can get power go to their head. And they think that they have to control everything. And going so far to like it, like at the end of the day, it's like it's not that big of a deal. Like when push comes to shove, like it's usually not that big of a deal when a real decision is made. But I think some people can like let that go to their head and I think that goes back to the point that I made earlier, like making sure that you're coming back to your morals and not altering them because you want to have control over every little detail or something like that. I think that makes a huge difference in a great leader and a good one.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah. I think it's one thing I believe, and I think pretty similar to that, is like for people to have, like with the morals, like your first principles, like what are your guiding principles? And of course have like that North Star. Well, what are you always aiming for with everything you do?
I mean, and if you don't have those, like you're just kind of going off of what do people think is cool. And that changes every day. Goodness gracious. I mean, if TikTok, my For You page changes every other day. Like one day I was on Water Talk. Like, you know what I mean? Like it changes. So keeping your morals, principles strong, I think are vital in being a good leader.
Yeah. And I think that kind of, I wanted to ask, what is your leadership style or philosophy? I think you've kind of talked about the philosophy there. But yeah, do you have like a leadership style and does more than one style that differs between your different roles?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say one of my favorite roles here on campus is I'm an ambassador here in the Honors College. Okay. And so I get to give prospective families, students a tour and kind of tell them about the great things, why I chose to come to the Lewis Honors College, the resources that they have to offer. So I think my leadership style for that, especially because I've been helping, you know, I'm getting old, I'm graduating here in a month, so I've been helping train some of the newer HCATs, that's what we call ourselves. You know, we got to stick on the wildcat thing. So training some of them is going to look way different because you kind of like, you've got to give them an opportunity to like fail, but be there ready to like, you know, hey, if you need to step in and make sure that they're hitting a point to a family, you're there to step in. So I think that leadership looks kind of different than like leading and managing like a team, making sure that they're on task for everything and that, you know, if you all had an end goal, making sure that goal is met. So I think there are a couple different ways that I dabble in it. It just kind of depends on the situation.
That's cool. And then with your style and philosophy, like how do you try to empower the people who work for you, like kind of the people on your team, particularly in student government?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the best things that you can do is be positive. I think there's so much power in that, like being happy. Like, you know, if you come in and you already have a negative attitude about it, you're like, this is not going to work out. I mean, I always say negativity kills the creativity. Like, come in with that positive attitude. Like, I mean, I remember thinking that in high school, like, I'm competitive. So, like, when we would lose the volleyball game, like, that was, like, I mean, that was just traumatizing for me. I was like, what in the world? Like, why did that happen? Like, we can't have this. And so, like, if some girls would come in and, you know, if we're playing the number one seed and coming in with, oh, they're going to kill us. Yeah, they are going to kill us. Like, you know, we're a good enough team. We have the talent. We can do it. So, I think positivity really is, like, a strong point in leading a team and making sure that you're always being positive and, you know, have fun. Like, it's kind of like what I go back to. Like, it most of the time, like, yes, you need to be serious in certain situations, but, like, have some fun with it, you know. Don't always, you know, get caught up in something or that, you know. Live in the moment, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite, I try to align with that too. I think I sometimes get down on it, but like, yeah, I think trying to be positive and fun. And I think you definitely imbued it. Like when you met me out on the campus and like you were waving and like you were I can tell she's a fun, positive person.
Like, I appreciate that. Yeah, no. And like as much as like I do love to wear the color black, but like every time I get to wear like a bright, fun color like blue mm-hmm. or pink, like I love doing that too. Making it as fun as possible. Like one thing that we do like in some of our executive branch meetings is we'll have like a question. It's like around Christmas time in December, we were like, okay, what's your favorite holiday movie at this time of year? You know, kind of like, yeah, we got to get the work done and we will work hard when it's needed. But, you know, also we're students, you know, there's things that we enjoy too. So kind of tapping into that as well.
That's cool. Yeah, that's something I do with some of the jobs I've had, like a staff meetings or team meeting, just kind of like, you know, if we have time, let's just have a fun discussion for a second.
Absolutely. No, everyone gives me a hard time. So in Appalachian Health Initiative, I started this thing called Selfie of the Meeting. And so at the end of it, every speaker that we had, I would give them my phone, trust them with it. Nobody broke it ever, so that's a plus. But I'd give them my phone, and they'd take a big selfie with our group. And so, you know, some people would give me a hard time, but why do you do this? Why do you do this? But I mean, I think it's fun, and it's on the Instagram. And after so long, people stopped giving me a hard time about it, and they were like, oh, I kind of like this. And so that's something that still continues on in that organization. But when I did get elected student body president, I didn't want to change who I was at all. Like, I am authentically me. When you meet me, like, that is me. 100%. You're always getting me, and so I got the opportunity to give this big speech to the freshmen. You know, there's almost 7,000 of them. A little nerve wracking, and so you know, I looked at everyone. They're like, okay, like what are you gonna give a speech about? And I was like, I need to order a selfie stick. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah. So like, how can we make that happen? So you know, we got the selfie stick, and I got to take a big selfie of the meeting with all, you know, almost 7,000 freshmen, and it's on like the UKSGA Instagram. I thought that was so fun, and like that's authentically me, like, you know, making fun, like, because those kids are sitting in. I remember thinking my K-week when I heard my speech, like, oh my gosh, it is literally 80 degrees. We have walked all over campus, like. I do not want to hear someone talk for, you know, 10 minutes, you know what I mean, about, you know, about how they got there. Like, yes, I'd love to hear that in an air-conditioned room, not on Kroger Field. So I kind of, like, tried to keep that in mind, like, when I was writing it, and I was like, this needs to be short, sweet, and, you know, let's do something. What would you do, like, you know, what would you do, Maddie, like, if this wasn't that big of a deal? And I was like, well, I could do the selfie of the meeting, and so that's kind of where I got that from, so... That's been pretty fun. I've kind of gone off on a tangent here. I do not even remember what your first question was, but, yes...
No, I think you definitely dress. I also want to add, I liked your comment about, yeah, dressing brightly when you can. I try to, I'm just kind of dark today, but I like to also dress colorfully.
Absolutely.
Got my pink backpack. So.
Oh, no, that's iconic. Yeah, no, that's fabulous.
So, but yeah, that's, I think, and it, you know, even those, like, it sounds like even those kind of, what may seem silly, like physical things, like, even like, you know, expressing positivity through that and like brightness through that, like, that's kind of part of your style too, right?
Yes. And you don't know, like, whose day you might have made. By being kind. You never know who might just be having a bad day, didn't get the score they wanted on exam, been there, trust me. And you know, just the, hey, how are you doing? Like in a, you know, in a good attitude. I think it means the world.
That's cool. Hey, I know you talked about how you empower people on your team. How do you like empower the UK student community overall? Like how do you try to get them in decision-making and make sure their voices are heard?
Yeah. I think giving everyone a seat at the table. I've always been that person, you know, if you reach out to me, I'd be happy to meet with you. Let's talk about anything, anything and everything. I think one of the biggest things that the UK student body struggles with is that, you know, they do not know about all the resources that UK has. And so they will take that burden on themselves. And that's terrible. Like, they should not have to do that at all. You know, and I did the same thing. I didn't realize about all the resources UK has to offer. And so, you know, one of the things that I have really worked on this year is, you know, making sure that students do know. So we completely revamped our social media, our website, making it easier for students to understand. But another project we're working on, and you know, I'm even working on UK PR so that I'm reaching the maximum amount of students that I can. And we're going around to every resource that UK has to offer, filming a clip of what they do, where you can find them, and it's going to be all over social media, UK's, UKSGA, all of the above. Because like students, you know, and I think that's another big thing, is you've got to meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of students, a lot of people this age are on social media. So, you know, handing out pamphlets at, you know, tabling events, that's only only going to go so far. Mm-hmm. You know, having something on social media that they can see, oh, you know, watching someone walk to, you know, Big Blue Pantry where you can get free food items, things like that. I think that's even bigger difference. But I also think that, like, a lot of things too, though, is like bringing issues, talking about issues that students care about. So one big one that we took into account this year is disabilities, as well as food insecurity. So for the food insecurity, we got to host a challenge with the University of Tennessee, because if there is anything that the students will rally behind, it's beating Tennessee. So we called this challenge Can the Falls, and so we got to partner with all kinds of on-campus partners, transportation, lovely, and we got to collect donations to give to Big Blue Pantry. And so students can utilize that as, you know, to get, you know, free personal care items as well as food. You know, you shouldn't have to stress about that. You shouldn't have to stress about eating. You're a student, you know, be a student. And so I think that's one of those resources that students, a lot of students didn't know where it was, didn't even know it existed. We went to DC a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, they were talking about like, oh, what have you done this year, all that, and I explained, and she was like, I graduated like a year ago, and I had no idea that that existed. And I was like, see, point blank period, like that's why we got to do this, so I got to follow through with it. So was really excited. We got like 500 and some donations though, directly to benefit, which is more than they've ever gotten before. So I was very happy to do that. Another thing is we're doing a disability kind of like audit right now to kind of see in the areas that, you know, that they might not know about. Mm-hmm. So we have a disability resource center here. They're phenomenal. But if you don't know how to access them or use them or what resources they even have, you're not going to utilize it. And I think that's just an untapped resource that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, they can test for dyslexia. And I mean, I think that's a big problem. Like, you know, especially in Eastern Kentucky, if you haven't had a teacher, you know, come to you and be like, hey, like, I think we need to figure this out, get this tested, you're not going to have that tested. And so I think knowing that you can kind of come here and it be like a safe place for you to come, you know, get tested judgment-free, I think that's a great thing. And so we're going to roll that out here in the next couple of weeks and then pass those results on kind of what we learned from that onto the administration. So I'm very excited and hopeful about that one. That one's been a very long process just because of the intricacies and the details we wanted to implement, as well as like the populations we wanted to reach. But making sure that those everyone involved is protected, I think, was huge too, which I think is kind of going back to like that holistic approach of being a neuroscience major and doing that. So like I do research, and so like I know that like if you want to talk to a minority population or something, I do a lot of research on Appalachians. You know, you've got to go through the right processes, making sure that they're protected, all of those. And so I kind of brought that into my role, so that was pretty cool. I was like, oh no, I know how to submit like the IRB and all these different things. Like, we're gonna do it the right way, we're gonna do it, we're gonna go forward, and everyone's gonna be taken care of. Even if it takes a little extra longer, I'm okay with that. We're gonna make sure we do it the right way.
That's awesome. And also, yeah, I would say personally, I appreciate all that work you're doing in disability. That's a been a big focus area for me in the past, disability policies. So
absolutely.
It's really important. And I was gonna ask, oh, how do you bring the neuroscience degree into that? But like, yeah, you already answered that.
That's so cool.
You, like, you went there with that.
A lot of people are like, what? And so I'm like, yeah, like I had to do that. Like I was a part of another program here at UK Spark, and they're phenomenal. Anyone that's listening that's interested in research, one kind of wants to dip their toes in the water, they should do it for sure. Students participating as ambassadors for research in Kentucky. We love our acronyms. It's a mouthful. But I started in that program. We had to take a class on how to submit the IRB, the importance of it. And so when I came into this role, I was like, oh, let me tell y'all the importance of IRB and how we can do it, and, you know, what process we need to use for this, and things like that. So
I have what I call my three M's of leadership. Motivator, manager, and mentor. So like being an effective motivator, being a competent manager, but also being a supportive mentor.
Absolutely.
How do you kind of like see those three roles? Like, do you see them as three separate things or three things that tie together? And like, you know, how do you kind of implement them in your roles?
Yeah, no, I love that. That's great. The three M's. You did fabulous with that, actually. So I think that they're all important parts of being a great leader, for sure. I think they kind of can have room to grow on their own, though, in their own capacity. So I think the last M, mentor, right? Mm-hmm. Mentor. Okay, so that's probably one of my favorite ones. I love meeting new students. And so one of the initiatives in SGA is the Leadership Development Program. And so I have two new mentees. And so I got to meet with one of them a couple weeks ago and, you know, just talk to her about her experience at UK. She's an out-of-state student. Kind of how she transitioned, you know, she kind of had that similar feeling as I did, as, oh, I'm the only kid from my high school to be here, but I know a couple kids from my surrounding area. I think being there, being a mentor is probably one of my favorite parts of being a leader, just because you get to show them that, like, hey, if you can put your mind to something, you can do it. And I think, you know, I wouldn't love being a mentor so much if I didn't have great mentors in my life. So I think that is kind of like full circle moment for me, like returning the favor of someone believing in me. So I think that's an awesome part. Motivator, I think that's one of, it's probably one of the harder parts of being a leader, because, you know, sometimes some people just do not want to do something. And so, I mean, I get that way too. Like homework right now, I have senioritis very bad. I do not want to do homework right now at all. And I have this little dog, her name's Lucy, she's a little Maltipoo at home. So like when I get home and I'm like, oh, I really need to do, you know, homework. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, Lucy like wants to play. I'm like, oh, that'll just wait, which is terrible. But motivating, you know, it's hard. I think that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Like you gotta dig deep into, you gotta dig into like why you started something, why you're doing it. You know, and if you're doing it for the right reasons, it'll always, your resilience and your persistence in it will always come through. So I think that's really nice. And then what was the, it was mentor, motivate.
Yep. And manager.
Manager, okay. I think manager is also a pretty difficult part of being a leader. Managing a team, you know, because some people, you know, you kind of got to be like, I know with my dog, like when she does something bad, like I'm like horrible with like punishing her. That's like the most terrible thing. Like she's like, she just looks at me with those little puppy eyes and I'm like, you can have anything you want, Lucy. Like, it's so bad. Like, everyone gives me the hardest time about it. But I think there's, like, there's a healthy balance between, you know, sometimes people need punished. I think people, you know, I had a teacher that, like, when I was in elementary school that, like, I was, like, not, I did not want to learn my states and capitals. And she was like, you're not going to get a good grade on this. Like, then, like, and I was like, what? But, like, making sure that, like, you know, it's kind of that tough love. Like, you feel more loved and appreciated when you get that sometimes. Kind of like, okay, you need to dig in and do this right now. Like, you don't, just quit fooling around. And so I think that there's, like, there's a dynamic in that kind of manager role, too, is, you know, being there to support them in any way that they need. But also, you know, sometimes they need that tough love that, like, okay, we need to look at, let's get it together, let's do this, like let's dig in. The 3 M's, that was good, that was gold.
Thank you. Yeah, I copyright that sometime. Yeah, I appreciate
absolutely
that tough love from teachers. When I was a teacher, I remember especially with my senior students, I was like, hey, like, you know, especially having that senioritis, I was like, hey, if you don't want to work hard, don't study hard, yeah, that's fine. I'm not gonna force you. I will encourage you, but then you'll fail and you won't go on to college or graduate. And then it was maybe me, you know, being a little bit hands off, being like, hey, you're an adult or you're about to be an adult, you could make the decision. But so I think kind of a version of what you were saying there.
Absolutely. Like, and I think like some of those teachers, like I still go back when I'm home and see them stop by and say hi, and I'm like, yeah, like I wouldn't be here without you, like literally. Just because of, you know, you gotta, that kind of distills that grit in you, like that, okay, we gotta dig in and get this done.
Yeah. And it seems like, I know you said motivator is a hard one. I mean, it seems to me, you come off very naturally as a motivator to me.
I appreciate that.
I think it ties well into sort of your positivity as well. Like, I think those two, you know, that goes in really well.
Yeah, it's hard to motivate someone when you're negative all the time. I mean, why would you want to follow someone when, you know, they seem like they hate everything and hate life? You wouldn't. You would be like, oh my gosh, what? So.
Yeah. And I also agree. I think, yeah, mentorship is also of the 3 M's. That one's my personal favorite, is making that personal relationship with someone.
Absolutely.
And like always trying to make a mentor relationship a two-way street, whether I'm like the mentor, the mentee, to be like, hey, I can learn from you, or hey, can I offer something that can guide you as well? So
absolutely. No, like everyone I've met, like they'll come up and ask me like, hey, like, can I ask you about classes? Can I ask you about how you got involved in research or organizations or anything? And I'm like, absolutely. So yes, like I give them my phone number. So if anyone's listening and they want to connect with me, you feel free to reach out. I'd love to. Absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really, I think especially as like, I mean, the top leader of the student body, like being that open and welcoming to people, even if you don't know them, I think that's really great.
Absolutely. No, I love meeting too many people. No, and that's like a bad thing though, that I will say is like, we'll get talking and we won't stop. Like I'm a yapper. So that is probably my downfall though, is like I can talk too long, too much.
Well, we're on a podcast, so in this space is always a good space to talk to
I'll come back anytime.
That's awesome. But yeah, I appreciate you answering all those questions about leadership development and your personal journey. Now I want to kind of ask the next part of my interview is kind of what I call the local global context, and then just some fun questions.
Absolutely, let's go.
But yeah, I want to ask, you know, you talked about individually kind of how your neuroscience degree and your Appalachian Studies major, how those like individually, how you look at them individually, but like how do you kind of synthesize those two areas in your leadership and just, you know, kind of in your identity?
Yeah, so I know that you can tell from my accent where I'm from. And that is something that I very much struggled with when I was a freshman. You know, because back home, you never hear anything about your accent. You know, everyone sounds like you. Some might even sound worse than you. Everyone calls like, oh, Maddie, you sound like cornbread. Like, some people back home may sound more like cornbread. So when I got to UK, I really struggled with that. You know, I'd meet students from, you know, central Kentucky, northern Kentucky, western Kentucky, and they'd give me the hardest time about my accent. How do you say that again? You said Pikeville or Pikeville. And so I really struggled with that my freshman year. I'd never, you know, you'd never have someone make fun of your accent back home. So I really struggled with, like, kind of being ashamed of being from eastern Kentucky versus being proud of it. And, like, growing up, I love growing up in eastern Kentucky. Like, you know, it was always a blast, you know. Things like that, but I mean, I really struggled with that my freshman year, and so I got to meet someone that was an Appalachian Studies minor as well, and he was like, I think you should take a class, just try it, see if you like it, you can add it if you want, you can get a UK cord anyways if you don't, and so I was like, okay, I'll try it. So I took it and I absolutely loved it. We talked about the history of Appalachia, the culture of it, how it kind of got to the state it's in now, how it is perceived in media versus, like, you know, stereotypes that we hear, you know, do you wear shoes, are you dating your cousin, different things like that, you know, everything. It kind of addresses all of those, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I don't know, it just kind of like clicked everything for me. Like, as much fun as I had in all my neuroscience classes, I was having a different kind of fun in that class, because I was like, I should never be ashamed of where I came from. It made me who I am today. You know, some people aren't as lucky to be able to go to their grandparents' house and go get cornbread and soup beans, you know? And so that's a part of that culture that we come from. And so it kind of distilled a pride in me. I wasn't ashamed of my accent anymore. I was more like, yeah, jealous, you don't got one. Like, yeah. And like some of my friends from like Northern Kentucky and Lexington are like they'll hang around me and one of my other best friends from Eastern Kentucky for a long time, and then they'll start saying like ain't or something, and we're like, ah, so I definitely think it was a game-changing moment for me in my academic career, just because it kind of like gave me a little bit of like, oh, like passion and like a little bit of pride, not a little bit, a lot of pride, from where I'm from.
That's awesome. And I've noticed too, like, yeah, people, I mean, outside of Kentucky, people judge Kentucky, whether on accents or just tell somebody from Kentucky to judge you. But I've seen that too with like friends from Eastern Kentucky. For me, don't have as strong as an accent, but like it comes out when I talk to people from back home.
Yes.
Or like when I go back home. The other day, we were talking something and I just randomly said Farhouse.
Yep.
And someone was like, what'd you say? And I was like, oh, my bad. It just came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
With what's going on in the world, like, how do you look at what's going on across the world, both like in the higher education space and the youth advocacy space? How does that kind of guide the leadership you're doing, both with the things you're doing for the community and also as student body president?
I think that positivity is the perfect place for that to come in. Because a lot of people are scared. A lot of people, you know, the uncertainty going on in the world, the state, everywhere. And just kind of being there to support them in any way that kind of looks like. Whether it be policies, looking at different things like that. Whether it be research. Whether it be, you know, course content. Anything like that. In your, you know, your college classes. I think it is very important to kind of think about, you know, okay, there's some room for improvement. How can we do that? What's the best way to do that, but also the most effective? And I think that's something that a lot of people might not think about, is what's the most effective way to get to our end goal? And that's not easy to do, because effective, it might be the most effective, but it sure probably is not the easiest.
Yeah.
And so kind of how do you balance those two things, I would say, is probably one of the biggest parts in the role I'm in, but also just thinking about it, like, as a person.
I think you've demonstrated, you know, you're a very, very successful, very effective local leader and a regional leader and a state leader. How do you kind of try to be a global leader in your role as well?
Yeah, so I think one of the best things that I got to do recently is I helped found the Board of SEC Student Body Presidents. So that there's a Kentucky Board of Student Body Presidents, and so we meet monthly and we talk about different issues and how our student bodies are handling it, what the students are wanting, what's kind of going on, and it's great. But I think that, you know, UK is an R1 institution, Louisville is as well, and I've worked very heavily with their student body president. But I think that, like, there is something about, you know, the SEC that's different. You know, mm-hmm. we've got the sports teams, you know, Big Blue Nation loves basketball. You know, we got Mark Pope this year, great season, great first season. And so a lot of us have similar struggles, whether it be with campus issues, different things like that. So I got to help help form that and then be a chair. So we got to connect, you know, with Tennessee. That's how we ended up getting to do the Can the Balls collab. And I thought it was a space that really needed to be there, you know, and some of them, they deal with, you know, some struggles that I deal with all the time, you know, and so I think it was so beneficial overall mm-hmm. for our student bodies, helping engage them, but also kind of getting to hear, like, okay, like, I'm not the only one experiencing this, like, oh, okay, like, it's nice to hear that. But, you know, we got to register 20,000 people across the SEC to vote in this past election. So which I thought was huge, you know, we kind of got to do that big collab, which was awesome. So I think that's kind of like the global aspect of that, is kind of making a difference, not just here in the Commonwealth, but across the nation. I don't know that I've necessarily had the reach of the world, but, you know, maybe one day, yeah. maybe one day. I think another way too is I was recently selected as a Kentucky Derby Festival princess.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Thank you. I'm busy, very, very, very busy, but I think that's a great way to spread positivity and kind of different things going on in the world, because, you know, in that capacity, you do meet people from all across the world. The Derby is one of the best events that, you know, the state of Kentucky has, and so it does bring individuals from all across the world. So I think that's another way to kind of spread positivity, but also bring awareness to different issues. So.
Yeah, that's a unique one. I think a lot of us think, and I'm guilty of this too, like, oh, the Derby Princess thing, that's, you know, it's a cool thing, of course, but it's more about, oh, just like the beauty aspect or that, but it actually is like there's more to it than that. Like.
Absolutely. Well, and a lot of people think it's a pageant, and let me tell you, it's not, because I'm not a pageant girl. I don't know how to do that. That is above my pay grade. It's actually a scholarship opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
So exactly. That's like super cool in my opinion, because it highlights, you know, your community service, but also, you know, academic achievement.
Oh, yeah. But that's so cool, yeah, being on the board of that founding SEC student body presence, like, that's just a smart idea to connect with other young leaders in other states and across the South, across Kentucky, to really, like, you know, I guess share those concerns and lead together, right?
Absolutely. No, and they're some of my closest friends now. Like, a couple of them have come to Lexington and visited. Okay. I've got to show them around UK's campus.
That's cool.
Especially, I know that, like, we have this group chat, and it's, like, hilarious when, like at the SEC tournament, the basketball team, I mean, we were, like, smack-talking hard. It gives us a little bit of enjoyment, because, you know, we do have a lot of stress on our plate with the role that we have. So kind of getting a new, fun way to enjoy it was pretty awesome, too.
That's cool. As you mentioned, of course, you're a senior about to graduate. What are your plans for after you graduate?
Yeah, so that is the question of the hour. And Abir, I'm going to be so honest with you. I think I really just need like a week, maybe a month of just sleep.
Yeah.
So I know you probably noticed I have some foot problems right now. I just had a procedure on my foot, and that is like everyone's getting upset with me because I cannot stay off of it, so it'll heal. So I cannot stay off it. So nobody knows how long you're going to be in this shoe. I know I look like a duck. I know everybody can't see me on here, but I do. Like, just use your imagination. It will not heal because, you know, we went to D.C. I walked like 10 miles. Like, there was no putting that up there. You know, you went to George Washington, you know, like, there's little, you got to walk if you're going somewhere.
Yep.
So the rest, yeah. Lots of rest right now. But as soon as I get that rest and make an informed decision, I'll get back to you.
I think that's something we forget about. Like, especially with everything you're doing, I'm guilty of this too in the past and still now, like, so active trying to be a leader in your community, but you need to take that time for yourself.
Absolutely.
Take that time for rest of time with your pup for as well.
Oh, yes. I'm sure she's excited.
Yeah. But definitely, and I've people say, you know, rest is recovery, rest is resistance. Like, you know, rest is empowering too. So.
Absolutely. No, and I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves sometimes, but like, leaders need rest too. You can't be 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 all the time. You know, you got to have those moments to kind of take back, reflect on what's happened, what's gone on, and then kind of go forward so you can kind of keep on that grind, keep powering through.
I think that's a really great message. This episode will air in May during Mental Health Month. Really great message for Mental Health Month right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. You know, prioritize yourself. If something's getting to be a little too much, take some time off. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. You know, we would rather have you take some time, kind of take a little breather, take a break, and then come back and be happy, full force, and continuing the great work that you're doing.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And I would say, you know, I know you're going to take a week. Like, I think feel free to take that rest for a while. After college, I taught for 3 years in Memphis, and then I just kind of took a year off. I did some part-time work, did some tutoring, and I wanted to get ready for law school, so I studied for the LSAT that year, but like, I was kind of like, okay, like I spent most of my days just chilling with my dogs.
Yeah.
And I was kind of with my partner at the time. I was kind of like the stay-at-home spouse, I guess.
I'll
sit home, I'll do the cleaning, I'll do the cooking, and I'll take care of the dogs. So, but that was like, that was a great year for
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Like, no, and like, what? And I think something that like is not talked about as much is burnout. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're always going, it's so easy to get burnout. And so making sure that, you know, you are taking that time to enjoy yourself is huge and absolutely makes a world of difference.
But I'm definitely excited to hear about that extra quality time with your dogs. What you were saying earlier about, especially the consequence thing with my dogs. Like, I mean, one of them, her name's Mishi. She's a little weenie dog, but like, I don't really like do consequences with her. I just like when she's acting, I just pick her up and be like, okay, stop doing that.
No, same. And my boyfriend, he'll get so upset with me. Like, she'll do something bad, and I'll be like, oh, she didn't mean to. It's okay. I'll fix it. Like, whatever she does. And he gets tore up with me. He's like, stop. That's why she keeps doing it. And I was like, she can do literally no wrong in my eyes. Like, it's actually bad. So I full force honesty on that one, that I probably should punish Lucy a little bit more. But I just can't. She's so cute.
Yeah,
I know. And it's like, what? No, and then like I'll get on TikTok or Instagram and see like a reel, and it's like, they're only there for a part of your life, but you're there for the whole time. And I'm like, Lucy, whatever you want. You want to get a pup cup, sister? Like, let's go. Like, she's full rotten.
You have to spoil them.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, and I think too, whenever I try to give a consequence, it'll be me doing it for a few seconds, and I'll be like, oh, you're in trouble, and I'll start playing with them and kissing them. And I'm like, and like, they probably get confused because like, whenever I'm, my consequences and my celebrations for them are the same thing. So they're probably like, wait, am I in trouble?
Yes. Oh no, that's totally me. I'm like, oh, Luce. Yeah, no, it's really a problem.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know I'm glad we're in the same boat though. That's great.
But you talked about a little bit about this earlier, but what advice do you have for individuals, for organizations, or even for movements who want to kind of put Kentucky out there to show the country and also show the world what Kentucky has to offer, especially Eastern Kentucky back home?
Absolutely. Well, kind of going off about the opportunity first, I would say one saying that I love is, you know, take the risk or lose the chance. And so kind of thinking about that and everything that you do, like a friend called me up earlier and was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And why my foot won't heal back again. They were like, hey, do you want to go somewhere and hang out? You know, we've not hang out in a while. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I do have a couple hours here. Like, let's do it. You know, we're about to graduate. We're seniors. So absolutely, let's do it. I think take the risk or lose a chance. Like, if I would have, I was scared to death to run for student body president, but if I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't be here right now. So I think that's a very powerful message too, is, you know, even if you're scared to death that something might go wrong, you know, it's all right if it does. You're going to learn something from it, and you're going to get better. You're going to grow from it. I think for Eastern Kentucky specifically, there's nobody else I've seen be as resilient as the people of Eastern Kentucky have been. They've been hit with tragedy after tragedy, especially Floyd County specifically. And so I think that's one thing that everybody can learn from them is resilience. And I'm proud to be from there. And if anybody ever wants to talk about it, I'd be happy to talk about it with them. It's kind of like a TED talk of mine. Like I'll go off about, you know, or Dairy Cheer. There, you know, I miss their course size chair, Sierra Miss. Those are great. So.
I don't think I've been to Dairy. Yeah, I've been to Dairy Cheer in years. It's been so long.
Oh, it's so good. So, yes.
I know you mentioned, you know, you're still thinking about like what you'll do after you graduate, but have you thought ahead to what you may do in the future, like your career plans in general?
Absolutely. I love helping people. And so I think medical school.
Oh, okay.
That's probably the end goal.
Being someone who's ran for office here, like, do you think ever running for office in the future, getting involved in politics?
I have had people ask me that all the time, and I laugh at that question usually, because I'm like, if I ever decide to run for something again, I think somebody needs to, like, come check on me. Somebody needs to have a chat with me and be like, all right, you have lost it. I have loved every minute of this, but I think that I don't know. I think I have more fun, you know, helping people in other ways.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'll never say never because I said never that I'd run for student body president. And I did that, but I definitely want to focus more on, you know, I think helping Eastern Kentucky in a different way. So, but I'll keep you posted.
I will say, I think having, again, someone from like a medical or science background, and, you know, more women to run to, I think that would be very encouraging. So
absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
And someone from Eastern Kentucky, most importantly. Most
yes.
important aspect of that. What are some big leadership lessons you've learned from different, what I call kind of, you know, fun global sources from like books, movies, TV, or even like pop culture?
This is really probably not a fun answer, but but I think that like we focus so much on what people say and social media all the time, and that we really could do is check our sources. Like make sure that like what we're seeing and like biting into, you know, buying into is the truth. I think that a lot of times like news articles can actually be chucked full of lies, and just making sure that we have all the facts. I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned from, you know, social media, pop culture. You know, you always hear like, oh my gosh, a big scandal or something. You know, Justin Bieber, I feel like, is always in the news or something.
Yep.
Selena Gomez, something there. But I mean, like, truth be told, they're just people too.
Yeah.
And like, I personally don't know them. And so, you know, who's to say if that did happen or why does TMZ know that? Nobody else does, you know? So, I mean, making sure that you fact check everything, I think is really important in like on the huge scale of like that, Selena and Justin T, to, you know, to something somebody might tell you on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of like a big lesson that you could learn from pop culture.
That's cool. And are there any particular books, TV shows, or movies you look to guide you? Ooh.
I will say one of my favorite books is Dope Sick
by
Beth Macy. I read that. I absolutely loved it. I mean, I looked probably like a 7-year-old at like a Jonas Brothers concert when I met her. Like I got to meet her, take a selfie with her, of course. And she signed my book, and I was like, this is the best day of my life. I was like, oh my gosh, like I've peaked when I met Beth Macy. So I absolutely love that book. And if you haven't read it, you totally should. I'm trying to think, what else? TV shows, I really have not watched a TV show in a while. And with movies, I'm trying to think. Yeah, you've got me stumped with this one. A movie, I'm trying to think. I love Grease, which is going totally cliche, and I used to watch it all the time as a child. I've not had a chance to watch it recently, but, and there has no relevance into anything that I do. It's not science related, there's no political anything with it. It is actually just probably brain rot. But I do enjoy, not that I can sing either, it's literally, you know, I can't sing at all, so, but I do just love that movie.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I would say maybe it influences your positivity outlook.
Oh, yeah, everyone's singing. If I ever break out in song, somebody needs to check on me as well then. But maybe I should start really throw some people for a loop.
Yeah.
I feel like we're actually living in a movie now. Yeah.
Tying back into what you said about, like, you know, fact-checking and make sure you're taking things seriously, I think that shows well that, yeah, you're not spending too much time now watching too much TV or movies, so probably a responsible decision there.
See, but I can get trapped on Facebook and TikTok. Like, I don't even remember, like, the other day. Like, I'm on Water Talk right now. Like, all the water flavors. Have you seen this?
No.
Like, there's, like, all these mixes you can order.
Oh, okay.
And, like, it's wild. Like, I don't even know. I don't know that I need to know this much about water. Or, like, how you can find these mixes. And, like, if you combine, like, 4 flavors. Like, yeah, I know. So, like, yeah. I waste my time in other areas, trust.
We gotta have some vices, right?
Absolutely. No, like, I'll look down and I'll be like, where did 45 minutes go? Like, what have I learned? I've learned where to get water mixes from. This is great. So,
yeah, TikTok can be... I was once on a plane for work, just happened to be sitting behind a colleague, and the whole 2-hour flight, they were just scrolling through TikTok for 2 hours. I kept looking up like, are they still doing that? Like, it's kept scrolling.
It's like doom scrolling is literally real. It's such a thing. Like, I mean, yeah.
And people try to say it's an issue with young people. This person, I'll say, was older than me. So, like, I was like, I can't believe you're just doing
this,
that for 2 hours.
No, like, I'll go, like, I have little cousins, and I'm, like, telling, like, my aunts and uncles, like, and all my, like, relatives, I'm like, no, like, they do not need an iPad right now. They do not need a phone. Like, let them enjoy being a kid. Like, I mean, it's incredible. It's kind of scary, too, though. I mean, kids, like, I know the meme around, like, iPad kid, but, I mean, it's real. Like, kids will just sit there and just watch it, and, I mean, if you take it from them, they cry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was always, like, playing in the dirt, you know, in the creek or something,
you know, back home doing something at the pool, you know, and kids are like, I have to have my phone and my iPad, and I think they need to get outside.
Yeah, that's good to show them. And kind of my last question, who would you say are your most important leadership role models? Whether we'll start with any, like, people in real life, but also fictional people you may look up to.
I would say one of the most inspiring people to me is my mom, which I know is a pretty cliche answer. But she is an icon. She is an attorney, but she went back to law school later in life, which is not an easy thing to do. And she is my number one fan. She's always there for me, whether it is I'm having a crisis or, you know, I'm doing good. And she's so consistent. She's so kind. And she's so positive, which I think is kind of one of the ways that I kind of am the way I am. So I'm very thankful for her. So she would definitely be my mentor or mine. I would say another person that was really influential in my life, his name was Dr. Douglas Scutchfield. He is from Floyd County, and he founded the College of Public Health here at UK.
Oh, wow.
Which is like crazy to think about, yeah, I know. So I had him in class, and this is a funny story. And so, once again, I was a freshman. I knew no one. I was scared to death. I was tired of getting made fun of for my accent. And I go into his class. It's a very small class. And I'm not a public health major. Like, he made us walk to this building. This is like, it's supposed to be an honors class. Like, I was kind of a little bit aggravated. Truth be told, I was like, why are we walking like an extra 10 minutes to this college? Like, what? And so I get in there and I'm like, I'm not going to draw attention to myself. Like, he's not going to call on me. And so I was wrong. I mean, we sit down, it's the first day of class, and he is like, all right, you, go write a word on the board that kind of explains how you are feeling about this class. And it was an Appalachian Health class. It was one of the ones for my newly added minor. And so he's like, and then tell me your name and where you're from. So I stand up, and I'm like, I'm Maddie Duff, I'm from Prestonsburg, Kentucky, and I'm intrigued in this class. So I go and write the word intrigued on the board. Once I said all that, he starts dying laughing. And I mean, I know nothing about this man. And I mean, I'm like, I am in honors class, I'm an honors student, and I have totally spelled the word intrigued wrong. And I was like, this is the most embarrassing day of my life. Like, I'm never going to speak again in this class. I might actually find a way to drop it. Oh. And so he comes to me after class and he's like, you said you're from Prestonsburg. He's like, where'd you go to high school? And I was like, well, I went to Beth Slane. I'm from the Pikeville area. Like, you heard of Pikeville, like, you probably know where that's at. He was like, I'm from Wilbur. And I was like, oh my goodness, no way. And I was like, well, and I started giving him a hard time about it. And he was like, and so he told me all this stuff. And so, like, he really became such a positive influence on my life at school. You know, I would go talk to him about literally everything. You know, he was from Eastern Kentucky. He understood the struggles of, you know, what you've been through to get here, to where you're at. And so he ended up passing. But I got to have a resolution passed in his honor at the Kentucky State Senate because of the impact he had on me, Floyd County, UK, and the Commonwealth as a whole. He was a doctor as well. I mean, his impact is endless, and it still lives on today. And now that I'm thinking, I would say another mentor that I have is, his name is Dr. Matthew Bush, Dr. Matt Bush, and he does research. He's my PI here at UK, and I could talk about anything with him. He has been such, after I lost Scutchfield, I was kind of like, well, I've peaked in mentors. Like, this is, where am I going to go from here at UK? And I through the Spark program, I found Dr. Bush, and he has been nothing short of fantastic, always supporting me and no matter what I do, and always being there to kind of guide me and give advice. You know, when something may not go originally as planned, and he's been incredible as well.
That's awesome. That's a really, really great set of people to look up to. Are there any fictional leaders from from literature or from movies that you also have as role models? Or?
You got me with the literature again. I've not been reading anything. Let's see. Beth Macy's a mentor, but she's not in the book. Let me see. You've really got me here bad with this one. You might have to get back to me. I may have to text you about this one. I'll be like, okay, this is who I'm looking up to in the book. But yeah.
It's quick. We'll end this on a cliffhanger. Then when I record the conclusion, I'll say, here's what happened.
Perfect. Hopefully I'll have an answer to you by then.
That's awesome. But yeah, thank you for taking the time for this interview. Going off kind of your thing about having selfies at the end of the presentation you did, I'd love to take a selfie with you.
Yes, of course we've got to. Yes, selfie at the podcast. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, this is awesome. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me. This was a blast.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been so great getting to know you, and just, again, the positivity, I could see it from you the second I saw you, but just like hearing here for this hour, I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you. This means the world to me. I love doing stuff like this, and you're going to have to connect me and your mom. We're going to have to do some outreach. Absolutely.
Awesome. And yeah, and again, thank you for everything you're doing, not just for UK, but for Eastern Kentucky as well.
I appreciate that more than you know. Thank you so much again, dear.
Thank you.
That concludes my episode with Maddie Duff, a proud Eastern Kentuckian who has really empowered the students here at UK and students across the country. And after thinking about the cliffhanger question we had of a fictional character she looks up to for leadership, we didn't actually have a chance to follow up on that, but two people that came to mind for me are Coach Ted Lasso from the Apple TV show Ted Lasso and Leslie Knope from the show Parks and Recreation. Both are just really positive, inspirational leaders who naturally inspire the people around them. And they remind me a lot of Maddie. My next episode of the podcast will feature Emma Curtis, a city council member here for Lexington and Fayette County, and it will be released in June. Remember to live local and think global, fellow changemakers.